Sure.
Hey, man, I love you.
God bless you.
Even though you are an Oklahoma
City. You know that last song? It really touched my heart.
It does. Can you tell how much our church loves that song?
You know, if it had been up to my faithfulness, instead of His love and grace and His faithfulness, I wouldn't have made it. If you belong to Him, He's going to come get you. He will. He'll come get you. So you might as well surrender and stay surrendered. He can make you so miserable that you think, hey, I've got to get back to God. You know, there's something about backsliding, though, that's very treacherous. I've been in a position early in my Christian life when I was backslidden. I was away from God. And it was so easy to take another step down, but almost impossible to stop and take a step up until God sent somebody tell me He still loved me. He wasn't finished with me. And 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, now abides faith, hope, and love. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Father, we just need You to speak to us tonight, Lord. Lord, we're living in, as Your word says, perilous times, difficult times, confusing times, even sometimes for the Christian. But tonight, Lord, we're praying that You would penetrate our hearts with Your word. And we'll thank You for it in the mighty name of Jesus. I have a message tonight, and I almost strayed away from it because of some of the things that are going on in the world. And 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, says you can know that perilous times are coming in the last days. How many know they're here? Perilous times are here. Men lovers of their own selves, and those various things that follow that. And even some with a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. With a form of godliness, maybe church attenders, and yet they deny that God has the power to fulfill them and make them happier and make them more fulfilled than what the world can offer. And the world is offering a lot of things tonight. Anyway, that's not part of my message. I want to take a closer look tonight at faith, hope, and love. And one other thing that goes with faith particularly is patience or endurance. There have been times when we have given up at the last moment, right before God was going to give us a breakthrough. But we would give up at the last moment because we lack this thing called patience. I'm going to look mostly at Hebrews tonight. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 says, be not slothful or lazy, but followers of them through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men truly swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Likewise, or wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of his promise the immutability or the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable or unchangeable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. What are these two immutable or unchangeable things? I believe that the promises made to Abraham. God will never go back on his promises. Amen. If he's made a promise to you, he will fulfill it in his time. He never goes back on his word. He said, surely, blessing, I'll bless you. And multiplying, I will multiply you. God wanted to do these two things with Abraham, bless him and multiply him. Likewise, his desire is to bring us into the place of his blessing. How many know that God is blessing you more than you ever were blessed in the world? It's a destructive lifestyle that I found in the world, but now it's a peaceful, joyful, full of purpose lifestyle. So what does he mean when he says, I'll multiply you? Let us put it this way. He wants to produce, even multiply himself through us. That's what he told Abraham. Abraham had already been blessed out of his socks. He was probably the richest man in the world already, had more camels and sheep and goats and whatever they did to count material things in those days. And he had more than he ever dreamed of, but he didn't see any way he could be multiplied. He had no children, and he knew that God wanted him to be the father of many nations, but he said, we're getting too old. Sarah's too old. I'm too old. But before he took matters in his own hands and they conspired together, he and Sarah, and they brought forth a child through Hagar, and he took matters in his own hand and he produced something in the flesh. And usually that which we produce in the flesh sticks around and causes us trouble. And it does. That which we do in the flesh will usually cause us trouble later. And Ishmael was the product. And that nation that came through the loins of Ishmael is a part of the great problem in the Mideast today. But patience is so important. I want to illustrate this, and I've done it probably here before. I've done it several times. But it says through faith and patience, we inherit the promise. God has got what we need. Heaven's resources can meet our needs. You don't have a need tonight that God can't meet. Whether it's in ministry or whatever it is, he can meet that need. And so you've got God's resources over here, and you've got man's needs over here. So you go to God and you get his promise. He has given you promises. He said, I'll bless you, and I'll multiply you, and I'll give you promises. But time starts to go by. Nothing happens. It hasn't been fulfilled. You've got the promise. Your faith is in the promise. And your faith connects you. Here you are over here. Your faith connects you to God's promises. But as time goes by, faith begins to sag. and it's not being held up so much. That's where patience comes like a pillar in a bridge, and it holds your faith up until that promise is fulfilled. And that's the role of patience in all of this, because it helps sagging faith. And it's the passage of time usually that causes our faith to sag. But without faith, the Bible said it's impossible, not difficult, but impossible to please God. And we've all, according to the book of Romans, 11th chapter, been given a measure of faith. And then the 11th chapter shows us the witness of what other people, just like we did, and we're talking about the 11th chapter of Hebrews, did by the power of God. There was a great cloud of witnesses that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11. Not sitting in the grandstands, cheering us on, thinking we're so wonderful, and just keep going, Tiger. That's not what that means at all. It means they are witnessing to us. They made it, we can make it. They had tremendous odds against them, and they're going to make it. And they who are dead, the Bible says, yet they speak. So they're speaking to us today. We can look back and Abraham speaks to us today. And the only definition we have of faith is found in this 11th chapter of Hebrews. Otherwise, we can see what faith does, but we don't have a definition of it. But it says it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith gives substance to our hope. Substance of things hoped for. I like to say it this way. Faith substantiates, makes real the things that we hope for. It's like some people say a title deed to that which we are hoping for. I'll give you a very basic illustration, and this is not too good because Dennis and I agree to have lunch at the Silver Spoon. And I'm going to show up because I know Dennis always buys, you know. No, I'm just kidding. You know, it's really hard to pay for a lunch when Dennis is around. It really is. Especially if you got an old credit card that doesn't work anymore. That's a private joke. I used to have an old Starbucks card, and I'd say, let's go to Starbucks, and I'd always try, and they'd say, there's nothing on that. And he would say, oh, I've got some money here. And he accused me of doing that all the time. Now, but say we meet to have lunch at the Silver Spoon, and I believe based on his word that he'll be there, and I have hope that he will be. And I pull up to the restaurant, and I see his black truck with the United in Him sticker in the back window, and that really gives substance to my hope. And I really have faith now that he's as good as there. I still haven't seen him, but he's as good as there. Likewise, the promise of God, when it's substantiated and we have hope in it, when it's substantiated, it's good as ours. We still haven't enjoyed it yet, but it certainly is something that we have no doubt that it's going to happen. And always keep this in mind. Faith is dependent upon the object. Let me explain. It's not our faith that provides the blessing, but the one we have faith in. It's the God that we have faith in that provides the blessing, not our faith. Some people say, it was my faith. You got to complete that sentence. It was my faith in God that provided the blessings. For instance, if I say, I have a lot of faith, well, it sounds like I'm boasting, and I probably am. But if I say I have a lot of faith in God, I'm still boasting, but not in me, but in Him. And without completing that sentence, you can have faith in almost anything. And it's not my faith that did it. It's the God that I have faith in. And by faith, Abel, going back right into the very beginning of Hebrews chapter 11, offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, being dead, he yet speaks. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found because God had translated him. For before this translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he journeyed in the land of promise as a stranger, in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let's look briefly at the first four mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. Abel, Enoch, Noah, then Abraham. They are all important to us and give us lessons in faith. I'm indebted to Andrew Murray for pointing this out in a book, The Holiest of All. Abel offered a sacrifice. Two things. He offered a sacrifice. Two things we learn from Abel, that he sacrificed and he offered. Normally, faith will involve some kind of sacrifice on our part, that we offer ourselves to God. And that's what Abel did. He offered a sacrifice. And it was a sacrificial offering. And Abel represents Christ, in that he was killed by his brother because he was pleasing God and his brother was not pleasing God. And that's exactly what happened to Jesus. He was there to please God. The Jewish people were not pleasing God and they were jealous of him and they brought his death to pass. But Abel represents the Jesus Christ in his atoning death for us. Then we have Enoch. Enoch represents the walk of faith. We can live by faith. The just shall what? Live by faith. And that's Enoch. And he represents the resurrected Christ because he did not see death. And he walked with God and was not because God took him. And that's going to happen to us too. We're going to walk with God and then we'll be not because God will take us. I believe that day is coming very, very soon. And so Enoch represents the walk of faith. Then Noah represents the work of faith. There's a work for us to do while we are still here, as he prepared an ark to deliver himself and others from judgment. That's our work today, is to prepare an ark that others can come in out of the storm when the storm really starts to come, and come into the ark and be in an ark of safety. And the only ark of safety tonight, Josh, is Jesus Christ. And when people come into Jesus Christ, they are in safety, and they will not come into condemnation. They will not be overwhelmed by what's going on in this earth. And they will be people that will come in out of the storm, and the clouds are gathering today like never before. And Jesus is that ark of safety. And finally, we see Moses, who calls us to be separated from the world. By Moses, by faith, Moses came out of Egypt not wanting the, not fearing the wrath of the king, and he forsook the luxuries and the pleasures. He had it all. He had it all. He was very high up in the echelon of the rulership of Egypt as Pharaoh's daughter, but he forsook all the pleasures of Egypt, and he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Every now and then, beloved, we need to get a glimpse of he who is invisible. Every now and then, we need to see him better. We need a better look at him. And now let's look at hope. Faith, hope, and love. A good definition of hope is a confident and a favorable expectation. Hope is always in the future. It's a product of the mind more than faith is a product of the spirit. But hope is something that we have in our mind, and the world has cheapened hope. The world says, oh, I hope so, without any real expectation, hoping, saying, I hope it happens, but I really don't think it will. Look at hope like a thermostat that sets the boundaries of our spiritual life. There's a thermostat in this room, I trust, and it's been set at a certain temperature. And assuming you have a heating and a cooling apparatus or machine somewhere on the building or outside, it's got the power to cool it. It's got the power to raise it, but say the thermostat is 72. Well, it'll hover around 72. It won't go any higher, won't go any lower, not much anyway. And that's the way hope is. It sets our boundaries. If we can't hope for something, it means that we have set our boundaries, our upper limits, too low. And we need something to give us more hope. And hope will come from reading the Word of God, just like faith does. Faith comes by the Word of God. But hope is always in the future. For instance, I hope to have a new body. I really do. I need one. This one ain't what it used to be. I say jokingly, an old lady did help me across the street the other day, and I didn't even want to go. That's not true, but I have had them pass me up. I could tell you a very funny, true story about when I was at a funeral on bumpy ground, and this little old lady, she took it on herself to come and support me and walk me across. And I said, I'm all right, I'm all right. And I don't know if she looking to me for support, or she was trying to support me, but she had my arm like she was afraid I was about to fall down. Well, I probably was. But you know, you have a little pride left, and you don't want somebody older than you. And to make it worse, there was along the grave there was a little narrow thing, and they were putting flowers on the casket, and everybody was putting those flowers up there. And I thought, well, I'm gonna give that a try too. And I go up and I get me a flower, a rose, to put it on the casket. And I'm not making fun of the procedure at all. I'm just telling you what happened to me. This was a real nice and solemn occasion. But as I'm walking that little narrow ledge there by the casket that dropped off about like that, here's this little lady again. And Pastor Dennis, she has a hold of my arm. And I'm trying to shake her off. But I couldn't shake her off. She was determined that I wasn't going to fall off of that ledge. And I didn't fall off of it. But she almost made me. But anyway, be that as it may, this body's wearing out, is what I'm trying to say. There used to be a day that I could work out in this hot sun, and it didn't bother me. Dennis and I poured concrete in a day hotter than it's been in the last two or three days. We really did. We poured, I don't know, and we were almost hand mixing it, weren't we? Yeah. And it was setting up awfully fast, and Dennis was practically running with a wheelbarrow to get it because we had to bring it out and dumped it. I could no more do that today. Oh, gosh. Let me just give a couple of comments about faith now. In closing, it's said of Abraham, like God, he called those things that be not as though they were. Now listen to me closely, because many of God's children have confused this and sounded foolish by calling things that are as though they be not. For instance, if I obviously have a fever, I mean, the thermometer saying 104, and somebody says, you have a fever. Well, I can't call that which is though it be not. I can't say, no, I don't have a fever. And go through all these gymnastics. That's not my fever. That doesn't belong to me. And maybe it doesn't. But anyway, it's manifested in my body. So I can't say I don't have a fever. I can't call something that is as though it is not. But I can say, I believe I am healed. I acknowledge I have a fever, but I believe I am healed. And that's calling something that is as though it be not. I mean, that be not as though it is. If I don't have any money, and I don't have any money to do what I need to do, I can't say that I've got all the money I need. No, I can say I believe that God will supply every penny that I need. And we've sounded silly at times. I've taught it before and sounded pretty silly myself, but those things, but we can't call those things that are as though they be not, but we can call those things that be not as though they are. I can call myself healed. I don't care how bad I feel. I can call myself well. I can call myself victorious, no matter how badly I fail, because of Him. Now we see faith, hope, and love all tied together. Faith is dependent on hope, and faith works by love. So they all go together, these three. This may help us to understand. It works in spite of circumstances. It is all the support we need is in the Word of God. Let's say, for instance, and let's look at a very short train. The engine we'll call fact, followed by faith, and then by feeling, which is the caboose. Fact is the Word of God, and it leads. Faith follows fact. We need a word from God. When we have a word of God, we put our faith in the Word of God. So the word is fact. I believe this word, and I believe that it is fact. I don't argue with it. I know it's fact. And I put my faith in the fact of the Word of God. And feeling has to follow. But say I'm controlled by feeling, and I am led by feeling. I don't know about you, but my feelings are up one day and kind of down the next. Some days I feel like quitting doing anything. And some days I feel like I could do everything except walk across on level ground. But we need a rhema from God. That's the word that God is speaking. When I have my Bible, I have the Word of God. I have the Logos, the expression of God. And the Logos is God has said, God has expressed, but the rhema, or God has spoken, but the rhema is God is speaking to me now. And when you're reading the word and it comes alive and almost jumps off at the page to you, that's a rhema. God has taken the Logos and made it come alive to you. Let me give you an example, and I think this works. This is really a perfect example. John 18:4-8. Remember, Logos is past and Rhema is present. This is when Jesus was in the garden and they were sent, and they had come to arrest him, and Judas had led a band of soldiers. And the fourth verse of the 18th chapter, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forth and said, "Whom seek ye?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said unto them, "I am he." Some versions leave the he out. I am. The great I am had spoken. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he said unto them, "I am he," present tense, they went backward and fell to the ground. I guess they probably had a little time to recuperate, and they got up again. Then asked he them again, "Whom seek ye?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I have told you," past tense, "a few minutes ago, I told you that I am he." See the difference? In the one instance, it was present. In the other instance, it's past. And the Logos to us is past until God makes it alive to us. I have seen people go halfway across the world on just a rhema from word, God. But if we don't have a rhema, if we don't have a present word from God, and I'm not talking about a word of prophecy, I'm talking about a word from God, we don't have the power, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the rhema of God. Now, we can find a lot of good principles in the Logos that work. They're workable, and they will work for us. But the rhema is when God speaks to us personally on a given matter, and he gives us instruction, and we are then empowered by that word. Those are faith-filled words to us. Now, we talked about faith, fact, faith, and feeling. And as long as we keep it in that order, we'll be all right. If we put feeling first, and then it's followed by the other two, it won't work. And if we have become feeling-type Christians, I feel like it, I don't feel like it, I feel like I'm more than a conqueror. And some days you get up and you feel that way. Some days you get up and you don't feel like getting up. Let me tell you one other thing that will help you. It helps me anyway. Quit listening to yourself and start talking to yourself. That works. Because if I listen to myself, sometimes when I first get up, I say, I don't want to get up. I want to go back to bed. I'm talking to myself. But if I start listening to myself, I say, this is the day the Lord has made, and I'll rejoice and I'll be glad in it. And God is God, and he's called me to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm going to get up whether I feel like it or not. And he begins to bless me, and for long I'm singing a song. You don't want to hear it, but I'm singing a song to the Lord. And so, stop talking to yourself, because you'll tell yourself all kinds of junk. You'll tell yourself people don't like you. You'll tell yourself all kinds of junk, but just start talking to yourself and say, I find favor with God and man. I'm blessed and highly favored. Amen. Well, I'm done. Pastor, I'm done.